Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Northside Baptist Church. What a wonderful place to be. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else tonight.
Amen.
Y'all?
Amen.
And good to see everybody. We're going to start out with our song here. We need revival. Here we go. Everybody ready? There was a time when the Spirit of God moved. When the people of God lived in a godly way, something's wrong. It's time to turn around. Something's wrong. It's time to heed the sound. We need revival all across the land. We must be strong in the power of God's name. Must be strong. This darkness needs our land. We need revival all across the land. We need revival. It's time to take the stand. Better fall on our knees and pray.
Almost sunk down.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 212. Oh, happy day. And let's stand, please.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joys on thee, my Savior and my God.
One, we're not happy. Two, we've got people that no one got it turned to. No one's singing. All right? So, hold on a second. Let them get there. All right, everyone getting there? I know I was rushing too. All right. Well, I'm really American. All right. So, now, all right. See that? See that? All right, here we go.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joys on thee, my Savior and my God. May this glowing heart rejoice and tell his raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to walk and pray, and every joy. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Number two.
Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. That cheerful anthem filleth hell while to the sacred shrine I move. Happy day. day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away.
Number three.
'Tis done, the great transaction done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on. Come to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Number four.
Now rest my long divided heart, because this blissful sin to rest, nor ever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possess. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. I do thank you for the safety you've given us to us. Lord, thank you for the meeting so far, Lord, and how you touched my heart, Lord. And I do pray you'd help us tonight, touch us again, Lord, and continue to challenge us to live more for you, Lord, and read our Bibles more, Lord. Get in there and dig up those gold nuggets that you have buried in your word.
Sure. And
apply them to my hearts, Lord, and not only apply it to our hearts, Lord, but tell others about your word and what you've done for us. I pray you'd forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, blessing to be here. You may be seated. Blessing to be here tonight. I do want to thank everyone. Definitely remind you, try to get in, get to your seat, and I appreciate your faithfulness to that. You say, preacher, you know, the strings, well, the strings are just there to keep you reminded. I think the way I worded it the other day, Brother Sutton, was if I could, I'd tie some around some people's necks. And Caleb, hey, you got that leash? Is it handy? Don't worry, I'll bring one in. I've got one, it's called a choke chain. Amen. But listen, I'm thankful. Our whole desire here is to have revival 2 weeks long and not be shut down 2 weeks after.
Amen.
And I don't want anyone sick, and we're just going to be mindful. I believe God can let us have this two-week revival and meet with us.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And He's the only one you don't have to worry about social distancing. He won't make you sick. Well, maybe sick of the flesh, but He won't make you sick. Amen. Had a phone call today. Talked to Brother Philip Willis and was talking with him. And I love Brother Philip. I don't get to talk to him very often. Not because he's that far away. I just don't talk to him very often. And a little bit of encouragement. Said he had had a family there in Savannah that's looking for a church, or stationed at Fort Stewart looking for a church, and sending them our way. I said, boy, brother, you send them on. Amen. And take that. We were talking a little bit about the election and everything going on. And, you know, it is amazing. And I know we were discussing this with some there before the service. When I went to bed, 86% had already reported. And it was red all the way. Loeffler and Purdue were way, way, way ahead. And woke up and prayed, read my Bible. And didn't get on it till later, looked at the election results, and everything was blue. I was like, what in the world happened? How did that go so fast and so far? And he told me, he said, brother, isn't there someone in power that can change that? I said, yes, His name is God. And I know he was kind of laughing when I had said it, but I said, brother, that's it right there. I said, God's in control. It doesn't matter who's what they're doing at the White House, Washington. Listen, I'm not promoting protesting, especially if it's violent protesting anywhere. Don't know that all of it was, but I do. There was one lady shot. Is that correct? Killed? Died? Yep. That's sad to me. That's sad.
Yes. You say, preacher, you know, what's so sad about it? That didn't need to happen.
Amen.
That didn't need to happen. In the mindset, I don't believe in accidents.
Yes.
I don't. I don't believe in accidents. You say, preacher, what about a deer running out? Well, what time was you driving? There's times that they're prone to be out. Amen. How fast was you going? Was you watching for them? Amen. I don't believe in accidents. You say, well, preacher, that ladder failed. The ladder failed because someone failed before the ladder failed.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the same thing in our nation. You say, preacher, what's happened? It's not an accident that the ones are in charge that are there now.
Yeah.
It's because someone's failed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess getting back to the old book.
Yes.
Amen. And when the Bible used to... Remember when church used to be important?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm not that old, and I remember folks that had some respect. I mean, they had respect for the church.
Yes.
And that's not the case anymore.
Right.
Now they're a coffee hall.
Yeah.
Bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, kind of sad. But praise the Lord. I'll quit preaching. But don't get discouraged about what's going on. Just keep serving the Lord. He's still on the throne. Check today. He's still there.
Yeah.
Amen. And we don't have to worry about it. He didn't get voted out. As much as America wants to ignore him, he's still in power. Amen. And nothing's going to change. And I'm not saying that there's not some pressure that's going to be placed. You know, one of the things I was talking with Brother Philip about, you realize that we may have some persecution before God calls us home. We've preached it for years. But we may have some persecution. I'm not talking about the tribulation. But when did the church grow in history? Is when it was persecuted.
Yes.
Have we gotten too lazy and God said, all right, church, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother James, you got a song for us?
Yes, sir.
What are we singing?
I'm going to do a clear title to that.
All right.
Page number 40.
Yeah. Amen. I'll let you.
I'm not $2,000. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're a bunch of liars anyway.
Scooter, you got your spin already? I guarantee I got mine spent.
Listen, if you don't spend it, they will for you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to have $2,000, but I'm telling you, I'd rather they give it to me than send it to the others that they're sending it to.
Yeah.
Amen.
What I'm worried about, I ain't worried about getting the $2,000. I'm worried about when they take it back.
Yeah.
At the gas pump.
Yeah.
$5 a gallon.
On ammo.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. On everything. Anyway. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet from the Lord either. Everybody got it? Page number 40. Here we go. If you can't sing it, take notes. Here we go.
I've heard people talk about heaven and describe its beauty so rare. So one day I purchased the title to a mansion in that land so fair. It was given to me without money, but it cost my dear Savior his life. He died on the cross just to great prize. Now I hold a fair title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. Fire cannot touch it, blood cannot harm it, and it never will need a repair. The termite can mar its foundation, for all the rock of ages to stand. I feel like it's almost completed, and it's ready for me to move in. Now my deed was beside it, recorded the day Jesus saved me from sin. Thank you, Lord. My name was engraved in gold letters in the Lamb's book of life safe within. And I'm a heir to a mansion in glory. This vain world here I'm waiting for Jesus to call me. Gonna lay down my cross and go home. Y'all sing it now.
Take our hymn books and turn to page number 327. And when you get there, stand, please. Page number 327, Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm homeward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's able land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. So some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's able land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Number three. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has got the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's able land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Number four, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, meet me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's able land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Titus, you ready? I do want to thank the Titus and Isaac and Lydia being a part of the services, and every day they practice and do and get around and excited about and concerned about, and that's important. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Amen.
I was taught the scriptures before I could read them. I found them to be true, that's why I believe them. With all of my heart, my soul, and my strength, with every song I sing, I choose to be a Christian. I will follow Christ, carry the cross that leads to life. I will be true, stand for my convictions, whatever others do. I choose to be a Christian.
As this world grows darker, my lamp will be burning, kindled with love for the one who is worthy. He gave his all, so I will give mine. I'll lay my life on the line. I choose to be a Christian. I will follow Christ, carry the cross that leads to life. I will be true, stand for my convictions, whatever others do. I choose to be a Christian, whatever others do. I choose to be a Christian.
My plans have fallen through, and I don't know what to do. I just look unto the hills whence comes my help. When the dreams I've dreamed have died, and I need a place to hide, I just look unto the hills and comes my head. I cry, Father, Holy Father, I need to rest a while close to you. Give me water, living water. Oh, send me forth, I feel my strength in you. When there's pain on every side, I just simply close my eyes as I look unto the hills whence comes my help. when my valley's overflowed into another yesterday, as I look unto the hills when comes my day. I cry, Father, Holy Father, I need to rest a while first to give me water, living water. Oh, send me through, I feel my strength with you. Give me water, your living water. I feel my strength in you.
Often was just like we are. Of course, children of Israel are just like we are. They always looked at the situation and thought that they could get out of it. They could help themselves. And Jerusalem was strategically placed, and they thought it was unbeatable. I wonder if America thinks it's unbeatable. Amen. Brother, you ready? Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be back tonight in the Lord's house. And our hearts are a little heavy tonight. And don't worry, there's nothing wrong. But there's a lot wrong. Amen. And tonight, I don't really know. Thought I had it all down, Brother Jeff. But open your Bibles tonight to the book of Judges. Book of Judges, and I don't know that this will be the message tonight. We may have to change it in just a moment, and that'll be all right. But I want you to look in the book of Judges, and chapter. Let me get there. It's hard. I can't talk and turn a page at the same time. Amen. And I guess that's from being from Alabama. But Judges, and chapter number. Judges chapter number 2 and verse number 7. God had been speaking to my heart about the message that I'm thinking we're going to. But he'd been speaking to my heart today about it, and things just happening, just words that were said here and there, and then coming to church tonight, and just God dealing with our hearts and going into the prayer meeting tonight, the men's prayer meeting. And the Lord just controlling the conversation that went on back there. And then come out here, and then you know, it seemed like it's still going in that direction. And so God, along with the message He gave me earlier today to preach, He just spoke to my heart about some verses I'm going to share with you. I don't know where we'll go with it. But I just believe in following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I think that's where we've gone wrong, is we've been following the spirit of man, of the flesh, and that's what's created the coffee shops. Amen. It is. And all the other liberal things. No, wait. They're not liberal. They're ungodly. Okay? They're ungodly things. And it burdens my heart. As I see, you see, I'm 71 years old. You say, okay, big deal. Like you others that are around my age, you know, and I got some years on you. You've seen America as the great America.
Right.
Amen. And we don't like to see it any other way. I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
We don't want to. Nevertheless,
yeah.
It's not the great America that we were brought up in.
That's right.
Amen. The pastor was talking about a little bit about the bus ministry, how they had to go back and start Genesis 1:1. Amen. Now, that's wonderful that we've got it, and we ought to have been doing that all along. But their children, I thought about the one you was talking about, David and Goliath and all of those. I thought about children don't even know about that little lad with the lunch.
No.
They don't know how God can use. See, right now, adults look at us and they think, well, you're a preacher. That's the reason you know all that. You're supposed to study. And we have forgotten that it's not something we're supposed to do, though we are supposed to, but it's something we get to do, that we learn about these things, that God will even use young lads.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And little lunches. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
But my heart goes out because we're so quick to condemn young people today. And when I say young, I'm not talking about little bitty ones. I'm talking about teenagers, 20 years of age, 25, 30 years of age. And we're quick to jump on them and say how bad they are and how sorry they are and all of this, when the truth is, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. They don't know there's a God in heaven that loves them, and so they turn to drugs. They don't know that there's a Jesus that died on the cross for them because He loves them, and so they turn to sex. And then we come down on them when it's our fault because we have failed to teach them. We've come in and sat down on the pew and we've sat there and went through the motions of a service and worship hour. And then we get up and we go home. I'm talking to me. And then we get up and go home and we think we've done God a good service today. This last Sunday, went both services. And we think we have done God a favor. It's God that's done us the favor.
Yes, right.
We owe Him.
Yeah.
You say, well, you can't pay Him. No, but I'm going to tell you, I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm tired of folks saying, well, you're not supposed to try to pay God. Oh, yeah, you are. You're supposed to live for Him.
That's right. Yeah,
put Him first in your life and in your heart.
Right.
Let others see Him in you.
Yes.
Amen. Let others think of you as a child of the King.
Right.
As one of the children of God. Amen. That's what we are supposed to be. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Well, we better get started before we get started, because we've already got started. Amen.
Yes.
Judges. Stand with me tonight. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borrowed... Forgive me, I'm trying to put things in there. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. Verse number 10 says, and also all that generation were gathered together unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, help us tonight. Oh Lord, things are flooding our minds, God, and Lord, I just pray, Father, You'd help us tonight, God, to just share our heart with these folks. Because, Lord, I want You to put in my heart what's in Your heart. And I pray tonight You'll speak to us tonight. God, I pray that it would not be just a regular service, Lord, God, but it be a service where we get the help that we desperately need tonight. And, Lord, it's not to make everything right yonder and to do this right over there. Lord, it's to get right with You, Father. Help us tonight, Lord, to just draw closer. Lord, there's always room. We've always said it, and it's always true. Help us to draw closer to You tonight, Lord. God, speak to our hearts. speak to those that are tuned in and listening and watching tonight at home. God, deal with their hearts and help us tonight to realize, Father, God, there is a closer walk with You. And Lord, there is a more blessed life than what we're living in. Lord, there is more victory that we can have than what, instead of what we've settled for. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, a lot of times we read about the fact that Joshua died, and we talk about Joshua made that bold challenge. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. And the people chose. And here in verse number 7, the Bible says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. I mean, listen, folks, they chose in Joshua's day to serve the Lord. And they did. And then it came time, as it will for all of us, to die. And they died. Now, I don't know. The Bible does not tell us. But, my friend, it's as though when you read these scriptures, I get the idea that the Israelites, the adults, the older adults, had lived for God and put God first in their lives, especially in their latter days. Amen. And then they died. And it's, to me, it's like they died. Maybe, I don't know where this comes from, but they died. And now I can kind of picture them as they're dying off the scene. And they're thinking, we did a good job. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
They're thinking, we did a good job because we live for God. Amen?
Yeah.
We did a good job. I'm dying. These are my last few moments in this life down here. And I'm taking my final breaths. And boy, we done a good job. But they didn't. They didn't do a good job. The whole next generation, my friend, that came up after them, knew not the Lord nor His works. They didn't know. You know why? Those folks failed, my friend, to teach them what was instilled in their own hearts.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I used to wonder about this. How? Here's a generation that lived for God. And the very next generation, not two or three more,
right,
the very next generation,
right,
doesn't even know God.
Yes.
Nor even the stories of the little lad,
right,
and his five loaves and two fishes.
Right.
Not even the story of David and Goliath. I mean, they didn't know any of these godly things that
right,
ought to be godly inheritance.
Yes.
Amen, that we pass on. We're so busy leaving our children, excuse me, guitars, fiddles, banjos, pianos, cars and trucks, houses and lands, that we're failing to leave them the most prized possession that we have, and that is God. Amen. We think we're doing so good, church. Man, I look back and 51 years of my life, these last 51 years of my life, I've been spent going to church.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
I never went the first 19 years of my life.
Right.
But since then, it's like I can't stay away from it.
Right.
And boy, we come to church, and I mean, I got saved in the church, got baptized in the church. I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
God blessed me and all of a sudden sent me a wife in the church and through the church. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And we set out to serve the Lord and we just started serving God.
Amen.
Well, we've been doing good.
Yeah.
Well, wait just a minute. Are we doing good? Where are our children?
Right.
Where are our children?
Yeah.
Where are our grandchildren?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Folks, we think it's the possessions we have in this life that's important. I'm going to leave this. Now I've got a new pickup truck to leave to my family. I don't know how to divide that up among our three children, amen. But I got that new truck.
Yeah.
It got me a new light.
Right.
Hey, I don't know how to divide that up.
Yeah.
But we think of these things, honestly, who do I give my truck to? And we spend more time over, you know, wanting to make sure we get that right over anything. I mean, these things are so important to us, and they ought not be. giving them God is the most important thing.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, giving them God. If that generation, that older generation, had given them the Lord, if that older generation had spent time with their little ones, amen, and their young ones, sitting around and talking about Jesus more, amen. I mean, sitting around and instead of talking about my favorite ball team, let's talk about Jesus, amen. I mean, let's tell of His mighty, wonderful works. Let's sit around and talk to them about how good the Lord is, amen. And all the wonders that He's performed in our life, the things that we've witnessed and seen God do in our life, the glorious things. Oh, remember when that one got saved? Remember when that one got saved? Oh, that's where we ought to be spending our time. We want to spend it in the world and with the world, and giving our children more of the world. They don't need more of the world. They're gonna get enough of the world. They don't need us inputting it.
That's right.
They're going to get enough of it. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we've got this idea. Well, we don't want our children to have it as rough as we had it. Bless God, I hope my kids have it that rough.
Yes.
So it'll teach them they can only turn to God. He's the only one to turn
right.
to.
Right. Amen.
Amen. It's not important that my children grow up being rich.
Yeah.
Do you realize when we stand before God, God's never going to mention how much did you make in a year?
Right.
Amen. How much land did you own?
Yeah.
God's not concerned with that junk.
Right.
Amen. But we are.
Right.
And our children.
Yeah.
Our children, my friend, they're the ones that's being cheated.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We're giving them all this worldly stuff, but we're cheating them out of the very thing that's going to make them the happiest.
Right.
Preacher was talking about that back there in the prayer room. He said, God's not concerned with making us happy.
Right.
That's not what it's all about. It's about those souls.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And that's the truth.
Yes.
You say, you mean you've talked about joy and being happy and all of that? You didn't mean it? Oh, I meant it with all my heart.
Sure.
See, when we do what God wants us to
right.
do, we obey Him,
right.
we're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Amen. But well, that's when we're going to be happy.
Have you noticed
personally that the things of this world do not really satisfy your soul?
That's right.
Well, it ain't doing our kids any good either.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not doing our grandchildren any good.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, here, the very next generation, after a generation, Joshua. Man, I think of Joshua and the men that he ran with. Amen. Those that he fellowshiped with, if you will. I think of what a generation of men and women of God that loved the Lord, that put their life in God's hands and said, Lord, I'll live for you. That's all that matters. And they did that.
Right.
I think of that. And then I think, and their children came right along.
Yes.
Their children came right along
right.
and did not serve God.
Yes.
Didn't even know about those mighty works. Amen.
Yeah.
Didn't even know. We preached a revival meeting. It's been several years ago now. When we first went into evangelism, I guess, about 16 years ago, something like that. Anyway, preacher called me from Ohio. And he said, Brother Danny, you don't know me, but so-and-so gave me your name and number and said that I could call you and you'd come and help us out with a revival. And I said, I'll come and preach for you. The revival is between you and God.
Right.
And I said, I'd be glad to come and preach. We talked for a little while and we put it down on our books. And so when time came, we went. And we got there in Ohio and I started preaching to the folks. And of course, I'll be honest with you, they looked at me like, what are you?
Yeah.
Not who. They wouldn't know what I was. Right. Amen. I mean, they'd not seen anybody from Alabama. They didn't know there's anybody alive below the Mason-Dixon. Amen. But it was a strain as we started preaching. I'm being honest with you. I mean, it was a strain as we began to preach Jesus to them and tell them about the good news. Jesus saves. Amen. Just the fundamentals, because I didn't know them, and I'm going in there preaching to them like they're all lost and need a Savior, and I was pretty much right. But it wasn't because they were Northerners. It was because they didn't know Jesus. That's why. But we preached to them. And one day, as we were fellowshipping with the pastor and his wife, and we were going to their house, they had invited us over to eat with them. And we went over to the house, and we were sitting there, and we were talking, the four of us, Miss Pam and I, and the pastor and his wife. Oh, y'all, let me get this call just a minute. Amen. Hey, I thought I turned that thing down. Bad when your clock goes off. I wasn't even asleep yet. Amen. But the four of us begin to fellowship. We begin to talk. And this pastor, preacher, listen to this. This pastor said, when we started talking about getting you to come and we wanted to have a revival meeting, he said, we were on our way home one day and talking about it. And one of our daughters, I believe she was 26 years of age, Brother Christie. Oh, excuse me. And he said, one of our daughters, she's 26 years of age, said, she said, Dad, what is a revival? Now, I understand little children asking what a revival is. But a 26-year-old that was born in the church.
Right.
Y'all wave, somebody just went by. Somebody, it's a GMC going up. He said, our 26-year-old daughter said, Dad, what is a revival? Well, what? I mean, what are we doing? Brother Jeff, what are we doing with God's church? I know what you're doing. And praise God for it, but it makes me stop and question myself. Danny, what are you doing? Amen. What am I doing with this life that God's given me to live? Amen. I mean, God, listen, I did not get this life on my own. God gave me a life to live, and He expects me to live it for Him. As a matter of fact, He paid for it to happen at Calvary.
Amen.
How dare me come along and tell God what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. It's time we fall on our face before Almighty God and we say, Dear God, help me to do Your will, not mine.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What are we doing, church?
Amen.
What are we doing tonight? Coming. We think we're really spiritual because the COVID's going on, and look at me.
Yes.
I'm in church. Oh, come on! What are we doing for Christ?
Right.
Isn't this bigger than that?
Yes.
Isn't it more important that we
yes.
lay all this junk aside and just get real with Jesus?
Yes. Yeah.
That generation that knew God. They knew God. They had watched God work in their lives.
Yes.
They had seen God do miracles, my friend. They watched those walls come tumbling down. They seen this. Boy, what a testimony they had, but looks like they all died with their testimony.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I don't find anything happening after they died in their lives.
Right.
Others, you read about things that happened after they died. But not that generation. Why? Their testimony died with them. They never shared it. They never told their own children. You say, now, Brother Danny, they must have told, read your Bible. They knew not the Lord nor His works. What are we doing? I wish we had about 1,000 preachers here tonight. Preachers, what are we doing? What are we doing with the life that God's given us? We're trying to impress folks. We're trying to work our way up the ladder in pastorate. We'll take this little church now, but we know what we're going to do as soon as a bigger one comes along because that's being successful. Look how God's blessing me. And then all of a sudden we got the coffee shops. Look how God's blessing us.
Yeah.
And the reason you're against them, the reason you're against them because you're so small, y'all can't
right.
have one.
Right.
You better pray you never get big
That's
enough.
Right. That's right. Amen.
some of the greatest churches,
yes,
going to stand before God Almighty.
Yes.
And, well, and some of us preachers are going to stand off to the side and say, surely he's not going to recognize them.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows them? They're such a small group of people. And look what I've pastored.
Yeah.
Look at all the land we've acquired. Look at all the buildings we've acquired.
Right.
And God's going to call out a name of a little church.
Right.
Northside Baptist Church, Pembroke, Georgia. He's going to call out the name of those little bitty congregations, those pastors that pastored those little bitty missions, as everybody else would call them, because they're too small to really be called a church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God's going to call them. Listen,
right,
what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are you and I? You and I, what are we doing for Christ? There was a generation that knew the Lord, that had experienced the works that God had done in their midst.
Yeah.
But then there came the next generation that knew not. That knew not the Lord. Oh, my friends, don't be guilty. Some of you, listen, you men and women, I know it takes both of you working. Okay, whatever. But some of you, you're so busy trying to make a living that you're forgetting your children need another kind of food besides what you've been providing for them.
Right.
They need spiritual food.
Right.
And they're starving to death,
yes,
under your rooftop.
Yes.
Because you're not giving them Jesus. And one day they're going to be faced with a great temptation. And it's going to be easy for them to choose wrong. Because they won't know right. They know how to make a dollar.
Right.
That is not important.
Right.
Amen. That is not important. Oh my. What are we doing tonight? It burdens my heart. I was going to preach a message on knowing the times. And I guess that's part of what this is. But church, we don't have many days left.
Right.
We need to change our priorities.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Yes.
We need to change our priorities. Our priorities are not going out and having a time in this world.
Right.
Boy, listen, we got time to do this and time to do that. We don't.
Right.
We need to have time to share Jesus with our family.
Yes.
Amen. We need. You say, well, my kids, they wouldn't sit around and put up with that. Sounds like to me, God needs to start training somebody else. Amen?
Right. Yeah.
I'm serious, folks.
Yeah.
Boy, we need to stop and we need to back up and realize, Lord, help us to stop this generation failing.
Yes.
And help us, Lord, to share Jesus with. If the world don't listen, I can't help that. But what about my children? What about my grandchildren? Amen? This is our heart's desire. It always has been. When we got married, we started immediately praying over having children. I mean, right then, we started praying. It wasn't that we wanted to get married and start putting them out. You know what I mean? My friend, but listen, we were concerned. We wanted to raise. We wanted God to give us children that we could raise for His honor and His glory. We started praying for them. Well, we started taking them to church, all three of them. Before they were born, we started taking them to church.
Amen.
They were hearing the gospel in the mother's womb.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, when they were born, we just poured it on. We started praying for their spouses.
Yes.
Amen. God help. And listen, they'll tell you right quick. I've shared this with you before. Well, they wore only the brand name stuff called Walmart. Because we didn't have money to give them all this other stuff. You know what? They grew up. Shocking news. I know you don't think they didn't grow up just with the cheap brand. But they all grew up. And they all got married. I mean, they didn't live lives way off out under in the wilderness somewhere. Amen? Because I was raised wearing lower brand of things. No, my friend, listen. They grew up, got married, got a family of their own. Help me. I'm not trying to glorify myself and Miss Pam. I'm just telling this. It is possible. There was a generation that served the Lord that knew God. It is possible today for a generation to come along that would be greater than this generation here.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, you say, well, not with Biden coming along and not with all this. It has nothing to do with him. It has to do with God.
Right.
What are we doing?
Yes.
What are we doing? Why is it such a struggle? I tell you why. Because we don't want to admit this, but the devil's got a bigger hold on us than what we want to believe.
That's right. Yes, sir. Preach, brother.
Amen.
Yes.
He does. I'm talking to us now.
Right.
He's got a bigger hold on us than what we would like to admit tonight. Amen. We still, we'll get a little under conviction and we'll promise God, but after tomorrow we go back to the same old ways. When are we going to get serious enough that it affects all of our tomorrows, not just one or two days, but all?
Yeah.
I mean, when is it going to eat at us and gnaw at us so much, my friend, that instead of using the COVID as an excuse not to, why don't we use it as an excuse to?
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know what this thing looks like? We don't have much time.
Right.
I think that ought to be our excuse for hurrying up and telling folks about Jesus.
Yes.
Because we don't have much time.
Right.
Boy, we need to win our folks, our children, our grandchildren to the Lord.
Right.
We need to be winning them on the job to the Lord. Because they, listen to me, they don't have much time left to choose Jesus.
Right.
And we better get busy.
Yes.
We better get busy. Tonight, my generation is just about coming gone. I mean, boy, here in the last month, I've had three preacher friends. I mean, some close friends that have passed on. One of them is 101 years old. Died just the other day. My generation is come and gone. But I got some good news. It ain't too late for me. I can still, maybe, Brother Jeff, maybe I can change just one life. I know it would be God that does it, but maybe I can let Him use me to change that one life. And they might, in return. Can you imagine how many souls Noah is responsible for leading to God?
Right.
Noah. Just now, I mentioned his name.
Yeah.
If somebody gets saved, you know who's going to get a little credit for it?
Yeah.
Noah. Yeah. Amen. See, it's not too late.
Right.
What are we doing tonight? I think it's time we get in the altar.
Yeah.
And we just talk with God. I'm talking about one-on-one. I'm talking about talking to Him from our heart. I'm not talking about making flashy promises. I'm talking about just get down there where we live and say, God, help me. Help me. Because our children, they can make it through this world with all of our possessions.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, they can make it through this world without our possessions.
Right.
But they can't make it without Jesus.
Right.
And that generation that's coming on, they need some help. They need our help.
Amen.
My help.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not much, but they need my help.
Sure.
I can help them.
Yes.
I can.
Sure.
Brother Jeff, I've been through some rough times in life.
Yes.
And I know who brought me through, and His name is Jesus.
Right.
And if I can just tell somebody else and they'll respond in that direction, I've helped them.
That's right.
You can help them. You can.
Right.
It's not too late. You say, well, Brother Danny, I haven't really lived for the Lord. Well, that's in the past. Let this be your New Year's.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Let tonight be your New Year's.
That's right.
And make a commitment to the Lord. And tell God, help me to just help one individual. Just one. If you help one, you'll want to help another when you see what God does in their life. Let's all stand tonight. Let's all stand. Pastor, you come. I don't know what God wants you to do. But I just feel the urgency tonight to hurry up and pray. Because we don't know. Somebody may fall over right here in the service. Might do it. You ought to come tonight. You ought to come tonight. Don't think, well, I came last night. What does that have to do with tonight? Huh? What does that have to do with tonight? Why don't you surrender to the Lord before it's too late? Young people, listen to me. I apologize for the way our generation has left this generation in a bind, not knowing God. I apologize. I apologize for all of my faults, for my failures, for my weakness in my life, for turning to the world rather than turning to Christ. I apologize. Listen, don't let us be your excuse. Come tonight to the Lord and say, "Dear God, I'm one of those next generationers. God, I want up my generation to know you. So now, see, you've got some responsibility. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come and surrender to the Lord?" You say, "Brother Danny, my family's not in church. They're not living for the Lord." Come pray for them and then witness to them. Try to reach them. God will help you. You say, "Well, I've tried it before. It just didn't work." Well, why did you give up? Why have you given up? Tonight, you ought to come. Father, Lord, we want to thank you. God, not for what I've said or done, but Lord, for what you have done. Lord, when I think of what you've done at Calvary, oh, dear God, that's enough to motivate me to want to serve you day after day after day after day, Lord, until this generation comes home to be with you. Oh, Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? God, help us to choose whom we're going to serve today. And Lord, help us to realize, God, it is a day-by-day thing, Lord. It's not just a one-time decision, Lord. It's going to come at us every day because the devil's going to come at us every day with some kind of temptation. And Lord, we just need to know that you're there to help us every day and we can always make the right choice. Lord, help us tonight. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, Pastor.